So the epistle for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 6. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death. For we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ. Knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 8. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me for 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way. For some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can any one fill here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the people. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of fragments, 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Please be seated. So instead of a sermon this morning, our superiors asked us just to read a declaration on the occasion of the 25th anniversary of the Episcopal consecrations that the Society were celebrating, obviously, today. So please do keep that in your prayers. And so you'll also find a copy of this in the vestibule, so you're definitely welcome to take a copy of it home with you. It's also online, so you can read it also for yourself there. As I mentioned, this is a declaration by the 3 bishops of the Society. On the occasion of the 25th anniversary of the Episcopal consecrations, the bishops of the Society of St. Pius X would like to express solemnly their gratitude to Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre and Bishop Antonio de Castromeyer for the heroic step they courageously took on June 30th, 1988. Most especially, they would like to express their filial gratitude towards their venerable founder, who after so many years spent serving the Church and the Sovereign Pontiff so as to safeguard the faith and the Catholic priesthood, did not hesitate to suffer the unjust accusation of disobedience. In his letter addressed to us before the consecrations, he wrote, quote, I beseech you to remain attached to the See of Peter, to the Roman Church, mother and mistress of all churches, and the integral Catholic faith, as expressed in the professions of faith and the Catechism of the Council of Trent, in conformity with that which you have been taught in the seminary. Remain faithful to the transmission of this faith so that the reign of our Lord may come, unquote. As is indeed this phrase which expresses the profound reason for the act which he was going to undertake, quote, so that the reign of our Lord may come, unquote. Adveniat regnum tuum. Following Archbishop Lefebvre, we affirm that the cause of the grave errors which are in the process of demolishing the Church does not reside in a bad interpretation of the conciliar texts or hermeneutic of rupture, which would be opposed to the hermeneutic of reform and continuity, but truly in the texts themselves, by virtue of the unheard of choice made by Vatican II. This choice is manifest in its documents and in its spirit. Faced with, quote, secular and profane humanism, unquote, faced with the religion, as indeed it is, of man who makes himself God, the Church as unique custodian of revelation, quote, of God who became man, unquote. has wanted to make known its new humanism by saying to the modern world, we too, we more than any other, have the cult of man. Paul VI, closing speech, December 7, 1965. But this coexistence of the cult of God and the cult of man is radically opposed to the Catholic faith, which teaches us to render the supreme cult and to give the primacy exclusively to the one true God and to his only Son, Jesus Christ, in whom, quote, dwelleth all the fullness of the divinity corporally, unquote, Colossians 2:9. We are truly obliged to observe that this council without comparison, which wanted to be merely pastoral and not dogmatic, inaugurated a new type of magisterium, hitherto unheard of in the Church, without roots in tradition, a magisterium resolved to reconcile Catholic doctrine with liberal ideas, a magisterium imbued with the modernistic ideas of subjectivism, of immanentism, and a perpetual evolution according to the false concept of a living tradition, vitiating the nature, the content, the role, and the exercise of ecclesiastical magisterium. Henceforth, the reign of Christ is no longer the preoccupation of the ecclesiastical authorities, despite the fact that Christ's words, quote, all power is given to me on earth and in heaven, unquote, Matthew 28:18, remain an absolute truth and an absolute reality. To deny them in action is tantamount to no longer recognizing in practice the divinity of our Lord. Hence, because of the council, the sovereignty of Christ over human societies is simply ignored and even combated, and the Church is imbued with this liberal spirit which manifests itself especially in religious liberty, ecumenism, collegiality, and the new Mass. Religious liberty, as expelled by Dignitatis Humanae and its practical application these last 50 years, logically leads to demanding God made man to renounce his reign over man who makes himself God, which is equivalent to dissolving Christ. In the place of a conduct which is inspired by a solid faith in the real power of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the Church being shamefully guided by human prudence and with such self-doubt that she asks nothing other from the state than that which the Masonic lodges wish to concede to her, the common law in the midst of and on the same level as other religions which she no longer dares calls false. In the name of an ubiquitous ecumenism, unitatis regeratio, and of a vain inter-religious dialogue, nostra aetate, the truth about the one true Church is silenced. Also, as a large part of the clergy and the faithful no longer see in our Lord in the Catholic Church the unique way of salvation, they have renounced to convert the adepts of false religions, leaving them rather in ignorance of the unique truth. This ecumenism has thus literally killed the missionary spirit through seeking a false unity, too often reducing the mission of the Church to that of delivering a message of a purely terrestrial peace and humanitarian role of lessening want in the world, placing it thereby in the wake of international organizations. The weakening of faith in our Lord's divinity favors a dissolution of the unity of the authority in the Church by introducing a collegial, a gaietalitan, and democratic spirit, see Lumen Gentium. Christ is no longer the head from which everything flows, in particular the exercise of authority. The sovereign pontiff, who no longer exercises effectively the fullness of his authority, and the bishops who, contrary to the teaching of Vatican I, esteem that they can collegially and habitually share the fullness of the supreme power, commit themselves thereby with the priest to listen to and to follow the people of God, the new sovereign. This represents the destruction of authority and, in consequence, the ruin of Christian institutions, families, seminaries, religious institutes. The new Mass, promulgated in 1969, diminishes the affirmation of the reign of Christ by the cross, quote, renavit a ligno Deus, unquote. Indeed, the rite itself curtails and obscures the sacrificial and the propitiatory nature of the Eucharistic sacrifice. Underpinning this new rite is the new and false theology of the Paschal Mystery. Both one and the other destroy Catholic spirituality as founded upon the sacrifice of our Lord on Calvary. This Mass is penetrated with an ecumenical and Protestant spirit, democratic and humanist, which empties out the sacrifice of the cross. It illustrates the new concept of the common priesthood of the baptized, which undermines the sacramental priesthood of the priest. 50 years on, the causes persist and still engender the same effects. Hence, today, the consecrations retain their full justification. It was love of the Church which guided Archbishop Lefebvre and which guides his sons. It is the same desire to, quote, pass on the Catholic priesthood in all its doctrinal purity and its missionary charity, unquote, Archbishop Lefebvre's spiritual journey, which animates the Society of St. Pius X at the service of the Church when it asks with insistence for the Roman authorities to regain the treasure of doctrinal, moral, and liturgical tradition. This love of the Church explains the rule that Archbishop Lefebvre always observed, to follow providence in all circumstances, without ever allowing oneself to anticipate it. We mean to do the same, either when Rome returns to tradition and to the faith of all time, which would reestablish order in the Church, or when she explicitly acknowledges our right to profess integrally the faith and to reject the errors which oppose it, with the right and the duty for us to oppose publicly the errors and the proponents of these errors, whoever they may be, which would allow the beginning of a reestablishing of order. Meanwhile, faced with this crisis which continues its ravages in the Church, we persevere in the defense of Catholic tradition, and our hope remains entire, as we know by the certitude of faith that, quote, the gates of hell will not prevail against her, unquote, Matthew 16:18. We mean to follow well the injunction of our dear and venerable Father in the Episcopacy, quote, dear friends, be my consolation in Christ, remain strong in the faith, faithful to the true sacrifice of the Mass, to the true and holy priesthood of our Lord, for the triumph and the glory of Jesus in heaven and on earth, unquote. Letter to the bishops. May the Holy Trinity, by the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, grant us the grace of fidelity to the Episcopacy, which we have received and which we want to exercise for the honor of God, the triumph of the Church, and the salvation of souls. Written in Nacon, June 27, 2013, on the Feast of Our Lady of Perpetual Succor, Bishop Bernard Follet, Bishop Bernard Tissier de Malleray, and Bishop Alphonsus de Galarreta. So as I mentioned, you can find that on the internet, on the Society's webpage, and then also I made about 100 copies, so you're welcome to take some to read on your own. I know it's a little bit harder to listen to someone reading it, so you're welcome to take that. So as I say, with that, pray for the Society on this anniversary of the consecrations. I will continue hearing confessions through Mass. I will just stop to help Father distribute Holy Communion, but otherwise take advantage of the extra confessional time.